Not So Fantasy Football, a loser's guide to FBL with Rob and Yanis. Welcome, FBL players. This is Not So Fantasy Football on Ouzo Radio.
I am Rob, and this is
Yanis. And we're halfway through the halfway of Premier League. I mean, game week 19, which is 50% of the season. It's not actually like that because there are so many teams who have fixtures still to play.
Yeah.
But anyway, exactly. We kind of think of 19 as the middle, as the halfway there.
Yeah.
And there are still several fixtures to complete this game week.
There are how are you feeling
about it?
Isn't there a stat that only four of all of the Premier League teams have completed the 19 games?
I think so, yeah.
Just
it's
because
only
of
four
postponements and things like that. So
I mean, it would take me a minute or two to try to think who these might be.
Yeah.
So don't challenge me.
Yeah, exactly. But still, four teams have completed 19. The rest are to follow in the coming weeks, we hope.
Months,
years, yeah. I'm doing all right. Like, I had a bad day on Saturday that was made a lot better on Sunday. Should we describe it like that?
Very, very, yeah, very accurate. I have the same thing. I mean, the whole thing had started with the devastation that we felt when the Leeds Southampton game didn't happen for me, even before the game.
Oh, okay, okay.
But things started to kind of very gradual. It's kind of like in music, we say this accelerando has to happen in 24 bars.
Yeah.
You go slowly until you get it. Like the old trains that they needed 5 minutes to
even get going.
This is the feeling.
Like, we've got a hell of a lot of talk involved in this game week. And I feel like what's actually happened yesterday was like a bit of a splurt of energy. Not the nicest word.
We finally hit it going.
We got a bit, you know, maybe Sunday was the whistle blowing or something like that. But yeah, it was a good day yesterday. Can I start with my moan? Because you're not allowed
of course. I'm not allowed for at least a week. Yeah, I promise that.
Was it a red card, Yanis? Was it a red card?
Which one?
The one that the only one.
Oh, your
so
your
far.
One. The Robinson. It's the only one. Yeah, you're right.
My transfer in for Stuart Dallas in attempts to get a double game week player.
I'm going to answer the question with a question.
Damn it, politician.
What were you thinking?
Okay, my thought process, getting in Robinson, who, when I watched the Spurs game, was very deadly down that left wing. He started quite a lot of games. He links up well with Lookman, and I expected Lookman to start because Ruben Loftus-Cheek was out because he was playing against his parent club. And Robinson and Lookman, when they played, looked very good together. I only had a maximum of 4.4 in my bank. So the only 4.4 defender that was playing a double game week was Robinson. The other one that I could have gone with would have been a Newcastle defender. It would have been Yedlin or someone like that. But Yedlin might not play two games. I think he will because of the way Newcastle are looking right now. But it was a Newcastle defender. And I was quite happy with my choice of Robinson. And I was ecstatic with my choice of Robinson up until the 44th minute when he goes in pretty strong, but he's got one foot going in and the other is hanging behind him. So his knee is going forward with that one. And his knee actually collides with the player and sends the Quetta theatrically rolling around, screaming in pain, who does it with every challenge Azpilicueta receives, which I don't like at all, and then gets very upset when any decisions go against Azpilicueta, which I also loved watching quite a lot of. but yeah, it was a strong tackle, but it wasn't a straight red card.
It's like we call it an orange card, maybe.
I don't even know. Like, I don't. For me,
it's a silly challenge. Very, to be honest, I'm it's
really
a very silly
swayed
challenge.
By my bias. I'm so swayed by my bias, and in my head, it's definitely not a red. But in fairness, you have seen them happen. You've seen a lot worse. A lot more injustice done, like the red card that Fulham received for Anderson during the Newcastle game. So I think Fulham have had a lot of problems with referees this season, which is probably putting them a couple of points down the pecking order where they should actually be. But I do think Fulham should put in some form of appeal for it, because I kind of want him to play against Man United and try and redeem the -2 that he's currently on for me. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen. And I've just...
I think that indeed, in FPL world, in a double game week, there's nothing worse than your player getting a red card on the first one.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he misses the second as well. So there's no way. It's better if you had a player who didn't play.
It is. It is, because he's on -2. He's rotting a hole of -2 in my team, keeping me under 60 for my net total. So,
do you remember last year we had that? Was it Son? With the Chelsea game again. It's Chelsea.
It was Chelsea one. Where he flicked out.
Chelsea.
He straightened his leg as he fell over.
And we had captained him, so it was a double minus.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have kind of a nice history on red cards, and I know this was disappointing for you, but you had your good moments, so you can actually.
On the flip side of the cards, going from that segue, is that Fernandez, I was absolutely agonizing through the game, and there was one time when he was having like really strong words with the ref, and I was just like, shut your mouth, shut up, man. It was like, I felt like I was at a nightclub. My friend was talking to like the bouncer trying to get back in. I was like, just leave it. You're not getting back in, man.
We'll go to the next one. Come on, stop.
Go to the other one. Don't worry. Fernandez didn't get a yellow card, which means that he can play in the next game, which is against Fulham. So what I do hope is that Fernandez plays and bosses the game and bangs in a couple. And therefore, I won't be worried about Fulham conceding. And
exactly. You don't have like six goals. I've got Areola. Exactly. So
you've got Areola, so I feel happier with that as well. Yeah, cool. That's the flip side.
You said the magic word was he can play. It doesn't mean that he will. I don't want to jinx it, because I've also got Bruno anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make a big difference. But who tells us that he's starting that game for sure? We don't know for sure. Anyway,
I think I personally am not too worried about him, because when they play without him, they look so much worse than when they play with
him. I know, but if you think that he was rested one whole half against West Ham.
True.
I mean, it's 2 months ago. It's a long time. But if you have the nerve or the inspiration, the bad inspiration, to rest him against West Ham, you easily can have him again, resting him against Fulham. Anyway, that doesn't... I mean, we're guessing now.
Yeah. You are right.
Which is a perfect segue again to the other big, premium, because there are rumours that KDB might be not starting against Villa.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, I read that. I don't think it's very valid. Mm-hmm. My source, I think it's Sky.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article that he was very tired, and he had, I mean, naturally he got out. He was subbed.
Yeah.
There was no need for him to be
playing the full game. On pitch. Yeah.
But there was... I mean, I can't find it now quickly looking on Twitter, but there was this article that he might not be entirely fit, so he might get rested.
Mm-hmm.
It's worrying that it's against Villa, because Villa is quite more capable than Crystal Palace.
Definitely.
So, yeah, if I was Pep and I had to choose, I would definitely rest him against Palace and not Villa.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, again, I don't want to jinx it. I kind of want to jinx it because I don't own him, but there is a chance that he might not play.
Mm-hmm.
He might not start, or I don't know. And the fact that City showed so many good signs of kind of what they are. I mean, the way that they started playing, and they're more attacking, and they kind of remind us of the good times.
Yeah, it does look like a City team that's moving through the gears. They do look like the epitome of this steam engine that you've mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
The game week. They look like the team that are slowly getting up there.
They were very slow. They were very, very slow at the beginning of the year. They had wins 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 constantly.
Yeah.
And suddenly now they've got their best scorer being a centre half. So.
Do you have to say about your superhero of the game week so far, John Stones?
I will only thank the FPL gods, because I would be devastated. I would not own him. I would have Cancelo coming in for 1 point, because I was planning. I said that on our previous episode that my plan was to get Antonio for DCL.
And
Zuma.
Oh yeah.
Or Cancelo. These were the two players that I was thinking, because of 5.8 instead of Kilman. So I woke up Saturday morning, and suddenly on my phone I see Antonio has been gone up 6.3.
Yeah.
Which means that I can't do as had planned. And I didn't think it long enough. I just said, whatever, I'm gonna go for Antonio, and okay, I'll get a double City and I'll get Stones, it's fine. He's a decent player.
I was That's so what helpful I said the myself. Night before, and I, you know, mentioned that McCarthy was going down and that might put you out of some, that might move you out of your price brackets to make some transfers, and then McCarthy didn't go down. And I was like, that's it. Okay, so he's going to make his Antonio transfer tonight. And I made my Watkins transfer that evening. And then you posted, oh no, I haven't been able to make my Antonio transfer because he's gone out.
There's always room. There's always room to moan. Yeah. I moaned before it happened.
It seems to work for you, you know? Seems to work. This is why that's why I started the show with my negativity about Robinson. I'm hoping that
maybe they appeal.
Something happens that makes me happy about this whole situation.
And his cross finds a Caballero for a header while Maguire is looking towards Hammersmith. And
yeah, exactly.
So, yes, I was so lucky, because Stones had the game of the year for FPL. I mean, that was an amazing display. And not only that, he had Diaz next to him, assisting him,
mm-hmm.
getting 5 points in total in bonus points, them two. So I got 32 points from them two. And yeah, that, as I said, I told you before we started recording, I've had a very bad bench boost.
Okay. Week. Yeah.
A very bad bench this week, because I'm now in 9 points and only Areola to play, which mm-hmm. might end up in like 11, 12 maximum, which is a bad bench boost day for a double game week. I mean, you would expect to make a decent one starting from 15, 16 and above.
You want 16, don't you? Like, ideally you want 16 and you're not quite there, but you've still got one player to play, so you're gonna get past the, what did you say, you're the 9
10. I'm 9, yeah.
Okay, so you should be able to get 11, hopefully. Let's hope.
I think so, yeah.
But
I don't care, because it's such a fantastic game week
overall itself. Yeah,
so I don't really mind. Talking about numbers,
mm-hmm.
we just quickly run them through. I mean, it's quick, because we're still expecting more games to happen.
Definitely.
I've got 9 players still to play.
Yeah.
Now outfield, sorry, 10 with Areola.
Yeah.
So Soufal 6, Robertson 6, Diaz 11, Stones 21.
Mm-hmm.
My defense 4 clean sheets. Couldn't ask for more. Son, 5 with an assist. Antonio with a goal and 3 bonus points. That was fantastic. 9. Yeah.
Great pick.
These were my attacking returns because all of the rest blanked. I mean, I naturally had a clean sheet for Bruno and Salah, who was my captain, and he got to 6. I'm seriously thinking that after the Burnley game, no matter what happens, actually, I don't care, even if he comes back with a hat trick, he might go.
The thing is, in the next 5 games, he's got a pretty tough run. He's got, what is it? Tottenham,
Spurs,
West Ham, not an easy fixture. Brighton should be better. City, Leicester, Everton. So, like, he's got,
I'm counting on game week 26 and onwards to kind of bring Liverpool assets back.
Exactly. And by that time, we'll be wild-cutting anyway. So we will be able to find a way to fit him in, potentially. We'll talk about that later in the podcast, the permutations of what we know currently from the FA Cup. So stay listening for that.
It's probably... So, yeah, I'm on 80 minus 8, so 72 net. And
you've actually got 11 players still to play because
Martinez
has got 2 fixtures. So yeah, should be good.
That is true.
Let's hope.
What about you?
The full team
number wise.
let's hope that the full team comes out for Aston Villa and Martinez doesn't get swept aside for a -3 or whatever because they've conceded 10 goals. In terms of points,
or get a red card.
Yeah.
Penalty.
Let's pray not that doesn't happen. Touching some wood here. So 59 for me for the game week net, 67 minus 8. I'm up from, I think I'm up from about, where am I? Up from 300,000 to 230,000 currently as it stands, but that's obviously going to change. I've got lucky. I've been lucky this game week purely because of the way Robertson gave me the -2 and having Stones given me 21 has...
Robinson, you mean?
Sorry, yeah, Robinson.
Yep, because you haven't got Robertson. I was checking constantly.
I do have Robertson.
You do? Oh, yes, he's on your bench, yeah.
He's last on my bench. But yeah, playing the bench boost, I've got Robertson on my bench for 6, Kane for 9, which helped me offset your Antonio 9. Not sure it's worth the money anyway. Son for 5, Bamford's got me 2, Lookman's only on 1 at the minute, but he's got a game in hand. Suchek 2, Fernandez got 3, Salah got 3 as a captain, so 6. My defense is, I think both of our defenses have really saved us,
of course. Yeah, that was that. Yeah,
but yeah, if I'm looking at my bench boost, my team purely from a bench boost perspective, I would have had Bamford, Son, Kane and Martinez or Johnston on my bench. Johnston, that was one of the most annoying things. So the keepers, the game week, the Saturday where the keepers decided they'd leave it until post deadline to announce their surprise entry as a COVID, as a COVID case. Johnston announced it pretty much like the minute after the teams went out for West Brom.
Yep.
I'm not annoyed that he's got it. I'm annoyed that they announce it so late. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no obligation for anyone to say what the injuries in the team are, but I feel, but they're hiding behind COVID as a sort of, people, we don't want to shame people with COVID or anything like that. And actually,
what's the difference being positive, COVID positive, and having a hamstring, let's say? Why is it more embarrassing, let's say? I mean, I'm telling that from experience. I've announced that from the first moment and I've informed people that I've been in contact. And I mean, you can hear that it's still there. I'm still coughing. So why is it different? It doesn't feel, it shouldn't feel different.
So in my life,
the only thing, I mean, if they never revealed it, I would kind of get it because I would think that this is kind of more of a law thing, that they broke the law and they don't want to kind of make it big and announce it.
Yeah.
But since they announced it, what's the difference?
So, yeah, in my life, I've been working in theatres and things like that. And not personally firsthand, but my partner has been in a theatre where the entire group of the theatre has got COVID. And the way in which people treat people who have first discovered that they've got COVID before anyone else is as if they are the spreader. And they very much spread a lot of anger and hatred towards that one person. Now, that person could have got it from the theatre and everyone else finds out, but the first diagnosis gets a lot of hatred and a lot of anger. There's also been a lot of racial issues with COVID, in that lots of people have been saying, if you're Chinese, we don't want you. There are, you know, restaurants in Japan were saying, not serving Chinese people from the mainland. There are restaurants, you know, there are places all over the world that are like very racially negative towards people of an Asian background or even Asian ethnicity, because of the fact that they are spreading COVID. They are seen as these COVID super spreaders, and they're coming in from China, and they're moving this virus around the world. So I think there is a lot of negativity, but specifically in the football sphere, I think it should be treated as an injury. I'm not treating Johnson negatively for having COVID. I'm annoyed at the club for not in any way distributing any information for my own FPL team. It's entirely selfish, I'm not going to lie. But I'm not treating it in any way as me being anti-COVID, anti-people having COVID. They're spreading it. I'm just saying,
let's forget about FPL. It's not only about FPL, but why do they do the interviews earlier and announce who's off and who's not? I mean, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it for any reason.
Yeah.
Why is it different? So if, I'm not talking about, it's not the selfish FPL thing that I would like to know.
Yeah.
But if you go and you ask who's available, and you're just starting saying that, oh, he is not available, but he might be, and then what's the point of doing it? Let's not have them at all, the press conferences.
They're for the fans of the team, so that the fans will turn up to the stadium on the match day and they'll be like, oh, you know, we might have Antonio playing, or, you know, this guy's been coming back from injury, he's injured, but he's now going to be back. So it's for the fans. That's what the premise is. But it is very much now a thing where they try not to reveal tactics, and they try to reveal... They try to throw people off with press conferences nowadays. And it's not really in the spirit of the game. And I feel that's kind of where my problem lies, is that it's not, you know, then it's been happening for 20 odd years. You know, Mourinho's been in the game for a while. He's been doing it for a while. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I know that he's one of the prime suspects for these problems. But not revealing injuries and reasons why people are out isn't really in the spirit of the game for me. That's my thought on it. But anyway, so yeah, Johnson announced, Johnstone, not Johnstones, announced not that he was out with COVID. He should be back for Wednesday against West Ham.
Oh, is it that soon?
It's very soon, I think. Tuesday even. So he should be back.
It's Tuesday. The game is Tuesday.
There you go. And he would be first on my bench, going back to that. So overall, my bench is Bamford with a 2, Son with 5, and Kane with 9. And I would have had those players on my bench because they're not double game week players. So I'm happy that I bench boosted, because I'm on 16 without any points from Johnston. So I wanted to get around 16 for my bench boost. I have got 16 for my bench boost. So
it's actually already successful.
Yeah,
you don't have much of a hope to make it much better, but still, you're on positive. I mean, this word doesn't sound good now, the positive. So
yeah, true.
But it's good. It's good for you.
True. And then I've got 15 players still to play.
15 fixtures. 15 separate.
Yeah,
not bad. Are you counting Robinson?
No, maybe I am. Yeah, 14. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, okay, maybe 13 still.
Let's stop counting because you might end up figuring at 11 or something.
Boring.
They're getting less and less.
Yeah, exactly. Still.
Good.
Happy.
So yeah, I think we're both happy. And actually I'm even more than happy. I'm kind of excited. Because when you're starting with the first leg, let's say, being so good,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the second has to be a disaster. But yeah. Still, you'll be kind of happy enough because you've had a good start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I finally made up for, I had this big, big drop in overall ranking the past 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back in 49,000, so it's kind of it's working.
You're definitely in with a run at the 10,000 mark, this a top 10k finish this season, which is what I think you should be looking to target right now. Yeah, you're not far away, and if you get a big score for this game week, it could really, you know, shoot you into that top 10k, and then it's just staying there really by trying to pick a more template team, trying to not make too many risks. Try not to do too many hits either.
Exactly. I mean, this was one of the things I was worried about, the -8 that I took. But automatically, I think it's kind of wiped out. I think I said it even before the game week, so it's kind of, at least I'm being consistent, that my bench boost will eliminate the -8.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that my bench boost would actually be funding my mini wild card.
Yeah.
Because the team that I've built, and with the planned transfers that I've mentioned for the next two game weeks, is actually the team that I want for the next 5-6.
Exactly.
Until I wild card. So it's kind of a mini wild card at this moment, which is useful for this period now.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of paying -8, let's say, to take it, I just use the bench boost to make it for free.
Yeah.
That's how I make myself sleep at night.
I think you're right. You know, I think you made the right choice. You've got double City defense, and City have got West Brom, Sheffield United, Burnley in the next three.
Goodness, these are... I don't think that they'll have all three of them clean sheets. They sound like all three of them could possibly work, but it would be a crazy outcome, like 7 games in a row, clean sheets.
You've got to really hope that they get you points there, because from game week 23 onwards, it's a terrible run.
For
5 games where you've got Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, West Ham and Man United. So yeah. You are well set, and I think your -8 has really set you well for the next couple of game weeks. So what you then need to look at is trying to shift that value out of your team and to try and get to this next point, which is going to be game week 26, game week 29, blank and double game weeks, unscathed. So yeah, I think you've done very well.
Are we doing the segue for that now?
Yeah, definitely. So what's going to happen this weekend on Saturday and Sunday is you've got the FA Cup fourth round fixtures. And if you're checking up with Ben Crellin on a regular basis, which I think every FPL manager should be, you will have his calendar, which shows what's going on. One of them is empty at the minute for some reason. Not quite happy with that. What's going on with that? Oh, this is the condensed one. But effectively, he's got his permutations up for what's going on with the blank game week 26 and double game week 29. No, blank game week 29 and double game week 26. Get it the right way around.
Yeah, the other way around.
And I think he's got the right idea. He's scheduled it all out as to exactly how these different things can happen. What am I doing? It's not coming up for some reason. There it is. Okay, so there are currently 10 matches to be played. Yeah, that's about right. 10 matches to be played in this fourth round, where at least four of them are between two Premier League clubs. So after this fourth round, we'll know exactly what's going on. Does that make some sort of sense?
When is this to happen? I'm kind of confused with the dates.
Okay, sorry. I'm reading it right now. So the dates are, the fourth round is this weekend, which is... The 23rd or the 24th. Then you have game week 20 in the middle of the week, which we should warn viewers now is a 4:30 deadline on Tuesday, the 26th. So in just over a week, you'll get the game week deadline for game week 20. So that's your next, what you need to set your bus team for right now. Then you've got game week 21, game week 22, game week 23. And then on game week, after game week 23, on the 6th and 7th of Feb, you've got the fifth round of the FA Cup. So,
that's when we'll know.
It's pretty quick turnovers again. It's like very similar to what we had last time. So, it would mean Liverpool, if Liverpool beat Man United and West Ham or Doncaster in the next round, or if Chelsea beat Luton and or Barnsley or Norwich, I think it is, then Liverpool and Chelsea will have a blank in 29. So that's the permutation for the game in 29, which means they're likely to have that fixture played in game week 26. So
just to make sure, it's and, it's not or.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it or?
For
instance, if Chelsea is kind of very probable that they will beat.
Yeah.
But they will win both fixtures. Does that mean that automatically their game against Liverpool is going to game week 26?
So it's Liverpool versus Chelsea is the fixture. Which could arrive in game week 29. In the FA Cup. So Liverpool need to win both their fixtures against Man United and West Ham, and Chelsea need to win both their fixtures, or Chelsea need to win both their fixtures. Sorry, is
that exactly right? That's what I say. So, actually, we should kind of consider that this is, I mean, unless Chelsea suicides one of the two, because they're favourites for both.
Yep.
So it's most probable that in 26 we'll have the Liverpool Chelsea game, apart from whatever else we've got.
Yeah.
On that date.
Which will very likely mean that Man United have a game week in game week 29. And that's also very important. So if Man United beat Liverpool and West Ham, then that fixture is cancelled. Then Man United Crystal Palace won't be played because Palace are out of the FA Cup already.
Okay.
So Man United... so these are the Premier League fixtures. We're getting there. Should have done some research beforehand. So Man United play Crystal Palace in game week 29. If Man United are through to the FA Cup quarterfinals, they're by beating Liverpool and West Ham, or Doncaster Rovers fans, then that game week will be postponed. But if not, that game week is certain to go ahead because Crystal Palace are already out.
Whereas
the difference with the Liverpool-Chelsea fixture is...
is that both of them are...
both of them can win, and both of them can lose. So there's a very small chance that those fixtures will actually be played. So there's a very strong chance they will double.
By the way, it's good to let you know that game week 26 is Sheffield United against Liverpool. So Liverpool, during that week...
mm-hmm.
might probably have Sheffield United and Chelsea on a double game week.
Which would be amazing.
which is, I mean, a very similar situation to what we had this double game week, because we had Man United and Burnley for them. So an easy and a very difficult fixture. And it's same thing for game week 26.
Oh, okay.
So for United, game week 26, oh my God, this is very interesting. Man United have Chelsea.
Yeah.
On game week 26.
So Chelsea could have...
If they double... No, they can't have both because... No, it's impossible because then it means that Man United will have eliminated Chelsea... Liverpool.
Yeah.
So that's why they go to 26. If Man United is out of the cup...
Yes.
Then they... Oh, unless Chelsea moves on.
If Chelsea stay,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 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 you're right, you're right.
So either way, you've either got Liverpool, Liverpool playing Man United and Chelsea and Sheffield, sorry.
Chelsea, yeah.
Liverpool playing Chelsea and Sheffield. Man United playing Palace and Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Or Chelsea playing Liverpool and Man United.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is
interesting.
Yep. City and Wolves, so the fixture... In 29, City need to beat... City have got quite an easy run. I think it's Crawley Town, Swansea, and Nottingham Forest. Or Wolves need to beat... I'm going to guess that as Chorley. And Southampton need to beat Shrewsbury, and then Southampton need to beat... and then need to beat Southampton or Arsenal. So... Yeah. One of those looks like Man City are pretty much going to get a double game week in 26 because they've got two lower league opponents and they don't tend to slip up against them. But, you know, in the magic of the FA Cup could happen.
They're already playing against West Ham on 26, just saying.
Yeah.
What about, we said Chelsea, what about Spurs?
Spurs need to beat Wickham and Everton or Sheffield Wednesday. Okay. Southampton have still got their three fixtures, so they would play Southampton in 29, which means Southampton need to beat a lower league team and Arsenal and Chorley or Wolves. Chorley? I don't know. Chester? I don't know. Another lower league team. they're all using abbreviations. Oh, here they are.
Yeah.
It is Chorley. And that would mean that the Tottenham game gets moved. So the Southampton have got three legs to play. Tottenham have just got two, Wickham or Everton and Sheffield Wednesday. So with each additional leg, you get an additional sort of lower chance of it actually happening.
Tottenham's playing Burnley in 26.
So that could be
Burnley Southampton.
Which would be a decent double.
Very nice double up, yeah. And what about Villa? Oh, Villa's out.
Villa is out of the... Yep, out already.
What about Arsenal? Let's just be fair. They Arsenal might
and West
get
Ham.
Lucky. And...
Arsenal and West Ham are the fixture in 29. So West Ham need to beat Doncaster and Man United or Liverpool for that fixture to be rearranged. Or Arsenal need to beat Southampton / Shrewsbury and... Chorley or Wolves.
Yeah.
So if Arsenal get through their legs, which they very much could,
that's a really bad double game week for Arsenal. It's Leicester, West Ham.
Yeah.
Both away games.
And West Ham are, when West Ham play in the derby, they play to win, you know?
Yeah.
So that could be a good double game week for West Ham, right? Who West Ham?
No, because they've got Man City.
Okay.
Really bad one.
Dirty. Right. Perfect.
I don't know about Leicester. This is the only team that I'm thinking that...
Leicester play Burnley in 29. Leicester need to beat Brentford and Brighton Hove Albion. Or where are we?
Okay. Yeah, it's Burnley and Arsenal. Yeah, it's not a very promising one.
Can't find Brent. Leicester. Luton, Chelsea, Everton, City, Blackpool. He's not got Leicester on there. Brighton Hove Albion or I think Blackpool.
Blackpool, yeah.
So, yeah.
Blackpool.
Leicester got a tough tie against Brentford. Brentford were very good against Spurs, and I wouldn't be surprised if Brentford... I think their manager had COVID, so he's got some time at home to sit and twiddle his thumbs and try and work out a way to smash Leicester. So, yeah, that could be a win for Brentford. Who knows? But then they play Burnley. And then who's their other fixture against? Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a bad double.
Yeah. So this actually shows that bench boosting in either case was similar, actually. Mm-hmm. So there's no must that this is a good week. That was a bad week.
Yeah. The only other interesting one to mention from an FPL perspective would, I would say, be Fulham. If Fulham beat Burnley and Bournemouth or Crawley, then Fulham Leeds gets moved to 26. And that means that Fulham have Crystal Palace and Leeds, which are two of the easier fixtures for Fulham. And Leeds have Fulham
Aston Villa. And, yeah.
Which is also a good double.
These are good for bench boosters.
Exactly.
But from all you've said, I think I'm just waiting to see if the double game week will happen for Spurs. And that would be a good triple captain for me.
Okay.
For a game. This kind of...
Southampton Burnley.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a bad choice as a double week. We'll see. We'll see, because we never know what... going to happen tomorrow, so not
yeah exactly we're going to be finding out like in...
Good, so we've covered those possibilities. I mean, everything is
there are still a couple more that we haven't gone through in detail.
There's nothing really set at the moment, because we're still waiting for the cup results.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these are games that easily might end up differently than what expected.
Yep.
So we'll just be waiting and updating you anytime I have anything. Yeah, after next weekend, for instance, mm-hmm. we'll have something more concrete.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
We've got the next segment is question and answer. And my main question to you, Yanis, is who is your biggest disappointment, and who is your biggest revelation, let's say, in the first half of this season?
Okay, so in total, you mean? Not every team or every...
No, we haven't got all day, mate.
Okay. I wouldn't even consider him as a disappointment, Aubameyang and Sterling. Because I'm not disappointed. I always expected them to be that bad.
Good.
So I'm not even adding them to that list.
This is content.
They're already there since last year.
Okay, this is good content.
I mean, I've said before, these two players are never going to make it to my team.
Good.
Even if they have triple fixture, and I don't know. So yeah, naturally they have been a major disappointment for the teams and for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very expensive, and so talking about expensive, I think the two major disappointments so far this year, the one I got involved in was TAA.
Okay.
Because I trusted it. I mean, I was very stubborn. Mm-hmm. I was holding on way longer than I should.
Yeah.
He was extremely expensive. I mean, to be honest, if I wasn't stubborn and I had some brains in my head and I had sold him smartly, I could have had a very big rise on the overall ranking. I mean, let's say it that way. And the second is someone you were involved with for a long time. And I had him for the first couple of weeks, and it's Timo Werner.
My boy Timo, he's playing terribly. So. He's still playing terribly.
He's very bad.
Oh man, I'm so sorry, Timo, but you put in some abominable finishes in the past couple of game weeks. Yeah, that miss this week was a good one. But you're lacking form, you're lacking confidence. And I feel that one. I'd also like to put in Aaron Ramsdale, because the whole Sheffield United defence was one of the things we were banking on at the start of the season, being a good defence, a good way into the Premier League, a good way into the sort of FPL, medium-priced defenders, but also guaranteed clean sheets. And they have been anything but that this season. They really have hit rock bottom being Premier League, and that was a big surprise for me. And Ramsdale has to be one of the main sort of culprits of that. And anyone else?
I would also say Brewster was was a player that a lot of managers kind of found that opportunity when he got sold to Sheffield United and say, definitely. Oh, this is perfect. He's so cheap.
He's great. Full he's on. Play.
He's great. He hasn't scored. He hasn't had any assists so far. He's not even playing constantly.
No, he's definitely...
It's a terrible, terrible transfer.
Yeah, really sad.
He is an innate... But the price is not high. So that's why I'm mentioning the expensive ones more.
Okay. I think for me, Timo Werner is the top of the list, I think. Because we're assuming that Aubameyang and Sterling are obviously the worst. Like they're not even on the site anymore for us. But Timo Werner, is the massive disappointment for the first half of the season. Let's hope he turns it around for the second half, I think.
I don't really care. He's not on my team.
Well, if they turn it around, he could be.
I mean, he was almost 50% owned at the beginning of the season. Can you imagine that? I mean, Aubameyang the same. He wasn't that owned, but
he had two good fixtures, didn't he?
12 million, he dropped to 11.3, I think he's now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the players that have... Oh, that's a tough one.
Biggest revelations. I wanted to listen back to our first and second original podcasts. First five podcasts, because I have a feeling that in my head, I was quite sort of open to Bamford. And in your head, you were completely against Bamford. Stubborn.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't listen back to
completely against. Completely.
And I think Bamford has to be...
You think so?
Has to be one of the revelations. Not because he's been so amazing, but purely because because Leeds play so consistently attacking football. He's always on the end of chances.
So many chances.
And we didn't think that Leeds would replicate their high volume of big chances in the Premier League, but it seems like they've done exactly that. And Bamford has been wasteful, but he's also kept up his conversion rate from the Championship, which I think was not expected by anyone, which is why he's priced at 5.5 and why he's now 6.7.
Since you were talking about huge rises... DCL was one.
Yes.
That if he wasn't injured, he wouldn't have such a big drop.
5 weeks ago, he would have been there, wouldn't he? He would have been there for us.
He was so consistent. First 15 game weeks, he had like only one blank or two.
Yeah.
It was crazy what he did.
My description of Everton's season so far is a classic mini. They are, for me, they're a classic mini. You go to the shop, you look at it, you check it over for rust, you know, you check none of the chassis damage, you check it's got, you know, nice shiny knobs and everything like that. You buy it. It looks great. You drive it for a week, it drives beautifully. You drive it for 2 weeks, drives perfectly. Week three, some of the bolts start to fall apart. And as soon as the bolt starts to fall apart, the Mini's pretty much useless.
Yeah.
And Everton have just had constant... They've been in constant need of repairs. They've constantly been in the workshop because one of their main features, you know, one of the wheels is broken. One of these things are broken. And
James, just Alan.
Constantly been under repair. And when their main features don't work, the whole team seems to not click. Having said that, they put in a good shift this week and in the free hit week last week, and won against Wolves. So
no, they're doing way over their expectations, and what we usually thinking of Everton being. I mean, their fans consider themselves almost top four, but we always expect them to be mid-table, yeah. And they're way higher than that. So,
yeah,
I like what they're doing so far, and Ancelotti is doing amazingly, agreed. Especially with all the problems that they've been having.
I think the main
And I don't know about cars. I wanted to do a fancy, you know, parallel with a car, but they've got Pickford. I don't know what part of the car that is, but it's horrible. So even driving without a roof, let's say, they're doing great.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, they've got no boot capacity.
Exactly. Nothing. It's open.
It's just open. I agree that. I think that's great.
But talking about keepers, like the third, we said Bamford, DCL, I think Martinez is definitely one of the players.
Villa had a great season. Villa have been great so far.
And I think, of course, Grealish is a big thing for them.
Yeah.
But I think Martinez is part of the success story.
Because Villa have been a Premier League team for so long in terms of their life, I always think of the Premier League with Villa in it because they are one of those older school, you know, Agbong Lahore, those sorts of players that they used to have that were great. James Milner, all those sorts of teams they used to have. Ashley Young. I kind of forget that actually they weren't in the Premier League 2 seasons ago. And last season, I expected them to go down. I fully had the full expectation they would go down. So this season, for them to be so comfortably playing so well, actually is really shocking because they weren't playing like this last season and up until the very last bit. And they were leaky in defence. They didn't have a good team. And I was, you know, we would just say that they were the Jack Grealish team because if Jack Grealish didn't play for them, then they wouldn't stand a chance. And actually this season, they've been a well-rounded team which defends well, which plays well, and actually I've enjoyed watching their games, you know. Dean Smith's done a wonderful job and I really rate Villa and I really like the fact that they're a part of this Premier League.
Because you said, and I agree, I was really against Bamford, but at least I was expecting Ollie Watkins to be a good asset.
And
you can give me that.
I think he arguably fits in the disappointment box. And that's really
because
sad.
Because he raised the expectation so high as being a fantastic player. Yeah,
because he's not one of the biggest disappointments of the season because of the way he's played. He's one of the biggest disappointments of the season because of the FPL points, because of the actual points on the board that he's put in. Because the amount of penalty chances he's had, the amount of goals he's had ruled out by VAR, and the amount of like bad luck that he's had, and he's still got some good results. Like, because of the fact he got some good results and because of the fact he's 6 million, he's not in the disappointment box. But he's close because he's been very harshly treated by the game.
VL gods.
He has, yeah. Like, I completely disagree that he is he's not tried his hardest and he's been disappointing for that reason. I think his results have been slightly disappointing because he's been playing so well. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So that's covered. Yeah. You can send us your choices.
Definitely. Send them over. Yes. Get in contact with us.
Especially on Twitter, which is our newest kind of...
Indeed, yeah.
Main focus. I'm trying my best, being on the phone constantly. Just...
I bet Christine is loving it.
No, definitely.
please, like, get in contact with us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on wherever you're listening right now. Subscribe. If you like our content, I always see people doing it right at the beginning of a podcast or right at the beginning of a YouTube video saying, if you like our content, drop us a like or follow us or subscribe to us, blah, 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 blah. It's like, listen to the content. And if you've liked what you've heard, if you've liked me fumbling through the fixtures, and if you've thought we've put out a good podcast today, drop us a follow or What is it on Google Podcasts? Is it a subscribe on Google Podcasts?
Probably is.
I'm guessing you don't use Google Podcasts.
I haven't used them, just, but...
Apple Podcasts, follow, subscribe, and do all of those things.
Comment, anything. I mean, most of you know already all those drill. I mean, how to kind of like, subscribe, and follow. So we just ask you to, if you enjoy it, just do it. And I think it's more fair to do it at the end, because it's kind of, if someone hasn't reached the end, then they haven't enjoyed it. So they shouldn't be even told to do it.
And if you haven't enjoyed it, get in contact with us even more. Tell us why we're crap.
Exactly. tell us exactly what's wrong.
We're well aware that we're crap, and we are more than happy to put ourselves down. So please, you know, get in contact with us and we'll beat ourselves up with you. It'll be great fun. Honestly, you'll probably enjoy it. Proper punch bag session.
But so yeah, we still got those fixtures
to play. Podcast on Friday.
We won't have the Aston Villa Newcastle game, which is
just
on Saturday.
Yeah.
But we'll be preparing for the cup.
Definitely. Definitely. We do have you can get in contact with us via Patreon. We've got our Patreon site, and we've got our Buy Me a Coffee or Buy Me a Beer site as well. So if you feel like you want to support us in any way, shape or form.
Or a cup of tea is fine.
Cup of tea for Yanis. Are you on green tea at the minute, or are you on, what are you on?
Definitely green.
Green tea, keeping it going. Get in touch with us and buy us one of those. We'll enjoy that very much. And we hope you will stay safe and have a good rest of this double game week, right?
And of course, stay tuned.
Indeed. Ciao for now.
Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye, everyone. Ouzo Radio.